This is Living the RV Dream, episode 38 for December 29th, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Yep, you've heard right. It is the last show of the year. 2017, it's pretty much in the can. And if it is your first time here, my name is Robert Morales, coming to you directly from Miami, Florida. We are not full-timing yet, as you probably know. We are weekenders, weekend warriors, part-timers, how you call them. And we tow a Winnebago, a 2015 Winnebago Micro Mini 1706 FB, which at the time we bought it was the smallest towable Winnebago made. Now they have other ones like the Winnie Drop, and they've really increased, expanded their towables lineup. But ours was one of the first, and it's rather small. It's only 19 feet long, on the outside. I guess a 1706 means that it's 17 feet inside, you know, of usable space. But at least for what we use it as, it has been great. I really bought it more like I called it at the time training wheels, so we could learn everything there was to know about RVing. Of course, you can never learn everything, but it served us well, and I've made so many modifications, especially this last year. And in this last episode of the year, I was thinking of doing like a year review of all we've done this year and what to expect in the following year. But first we're gonna do some mail, and we have I received an email from Marcos from Brazil, and he says Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Natal. So he's saying in Portuguese, in Spanish, and in English, of course. And then he goes, thank you for this wonderful year of trips, tips, advices, looking forward to next year. Best regards, big hug from Brazil. Also, hope to meet you next year. Okay, that's great, Marcos, and I hope we can meet on the road at some point. I have a bit of traveling planned for this coming year, 2018, and I'm gonna tell you all about it in a few minutes. I also got an email from Jess and Terry Spurgin from Arizona, and they say, enjoy your videos, and your music seems to always match the selected scenes perfectly. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, sincerely, Jess and Terry Spurgin. And well, thank you very much. And I have a comment from Erico, who commented on Patreon about my Las Vegas video, the last one. And he goes, OMG, what a street, Fremont, that is. Wow, I guess that one girl in the red devil suit can get away with slapping. How different the city is from night to day. Hey, how about the other part of your trip, Valley of Fire? Closing the video with you living in Las Vegas? Kind of looking forward to seeing Valley of Fire. And let me tell you, that Valley of Fire video, it's coming out this Sunday. And that's Valley of Fire. I was pleasantly surprised, actually. That place wasn't in my radar at all. So what I did, I emailed Paul Charon and Paula Lorena. They have a YouTube channel called The Motorhome Experiment, and they are from Las Vegas. So I asked them, you know, since you've been around Las Vegas, well, what would you recommend if there is one place that I've got to visit, you know, a day trip from Las Vegas? And they recommended Valley of Fire. And let me tell you, I don't regret it one bit, because I've been to other places, other day trips from Las Vegas, like Red Rock Canyon, which is very nice too. And I even did, it's the Grand Canyon is doable as a day trip, but I wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend spending at least one night at the Grand Canyon, because it is like a 5-hour drive. I don't know. Especially if you want to go to the South Rim. It's a long drive, but this, and there's also, of course, Hoover Dam that you can visit, but hands down, Valley of Fire is one of those places that you feel like you're in a different planet, really. All the different colors and the sandstone rock formations of the desert. It's fantastic. A couple of episodes ago, I started with the new format, you know, destinations of the week, news, tips of the week. But today I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you guys a little recap of everything we did this year and all the places that we visited. And it's been action packed here. Probably the most travel I've done in ever, really ever. Well, we kicked off the year with the Florida RV Super Show in Tampa at the Florida State Fairgrounds. And this year it was a better show for me because I was able to take off most of the week. I was able to attend the show on Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday was industry day, and then the rest of the week through Sunday. Really. Actually, I was able to take the whole week, and in previous years I wasn't able to, because usually the Tampa RV show falls either the week before or the week after Martin Luther King's Day. And in the job that I had, I couldn't take off the week before Martin Luther King, because basically we had to make up for the day off. If we took Martin Luther King's off, we couldn't take the Friday before, or something like that. I can't remember. But anyways, we took the whole week, and the first few days we stayed at the Madeira Beach, St. Petersburg, KOA, which is in Madeira Beach, and we were able to visit Tarpon Springs, which is a lovely Greek town. It's actually genuinely Greek. Some 100 years ago, a group of Greek immigrants came and they developed the sponge industry, and nowadays it's a little touristy, let's be honest about it, but still you get excellent Greek food, and if you want to buy sponges, they have all kinds of sponges. I thought they were a little pricey, so I didn't get one, but who knows. Next time we also explored Dunedin, which at the time I thought it was pronounced Dunedin until somebody corrected me on YouTube on one of the comments. So it's called Dunedin, and it's a very nice town. It has the very quaint downtown with a marina, and then there's the causeway, and there's a honeymooners state park. It's called Honeymoon Island State Park, I believe, and that was pretty cool too. And then we ended the day at Clearwater Beach, which is a wonderful beach. That's a place where I would like to visit sometime in the summer. Because let's face it, I am a tropics guy. I was born in the Caribbean, and I've lived all my life here in subtropical South Florida. So to me, the beach in winter is a little too cold. Yeah, it's the way it is. So it is a lovely beach. And maybe this coming January, I'll have a chance to explore it again a little more with a little more time. But then every other day of that week, we spent the mornings at the RV show, and then in the afternoon we went to St. Petersburg or did something in Tampa, and that was a lot of fun. Okay, right after that, in February, we went to Big Cypress National Preserve, which is kind of part of the Everglades National Park. And we've been to several areas of the Everglades, and it's always nice, and you see the alligators, and by the way, you see tourists from all parts of the world. You can tell it's an internationally known destination. But the best kept secret is the Loop Road, and this time we stayed at the Monument Lake Campground, which is primitive. It is coming from Miami. It's the second campground you will encounter to your right. The first one is Midway, which is to the left. And this is right by something called the Monroe Station, and it's right just east, maybe half a mile east of Monument Lake Campground, and that's the beginning of that loop road. And it's non-paved; it's a gravel road, but it's well maintained. It's not bad, and you go through the cypress forest, and at one point you stop, and it's like a river. It is like a river within the Everglades, and it's called the Sweetwater Strand, and it's such a beautiful place. You just pull off on the side of the road, and you may encounter an alligator right there next to your car. Just be careful. If you don't bother them, they usually don't bother you, and that's the rule of thumb. You don't have to be afraid of them, but just don't walk up to them, because they're an animal, and they might try to defend themselves. But then there's this river, and you see the great blue herons and all kinds of wildlife. And even the smell, it's like, it's intoxicating, really. This is, if you ever go to the Everglades, and I'm going to make a video soon like the five things you must do in the Everglades, this is a must-do thing. That loop road on Big Cypress National Preserve, and it is free. Yeah, and we stayed at Monument Lake, which was the only campground in February that had vacancy. As you know, February is a busy month in Florida. In April, we did three trips, like 3 weekends in a row. We went to Delray Beach. Once again, Delray Beach is just south of Palm Beach. And we also visited Boca Raton. My wife wanted to go to a conference in Delray Beach, so we made it a road trip, and we had a lot of fun. Even though it was April, the beach was starting to warm up already, and the Delray Beach is such a nice town. You know, this, all these restaurants and it's pretty cool. So also Boca Raton, which is the birthplace of the Funky Buddha beer, even though the factory now is in Oakland Park, you know, the brewery is now in Oakland Park, which is part of Fort Lauderdale. The original was from Boca Raton. Now in mid-April we went to Point of View RV Resort, which is in Key Largo, and I made a video and I called it The End of an Era. Because that was like the last week Point of View was going to be open to the public. A bunch of RV parks this year closed down in the Keys because they're making condos or bungalows or hotels. So I hope it doesn't become a trend, especially after Hurricane Irma, which destroyed a lot of RV parks in the Keys. Anyways, we went there. You know, it's Key Largo is always a lot of fun, and then we had our seafood and our drinks at the several bars and restaurants. Very cool. Although you could tell the RV park was already in shutdown mode. It was half empty and it was not very well maintained. It was their last week. They were literally closing down the next week. And I got a special. I got like two nights for the price of one. And we just did it like for old time's sake, because this was our first or second RV experience in the Keys, and probably the best one, one of the best ones. Now, in late April, we went to Kissimmee Prairie State Park. A lot of people had recommended it. Especially the Cruz, which is a couple that follows me on the Facebook and on the YouTubes, and even though it was a little too warm and we were not able to see a lot of wildlife, it's one of these places that is in the Dark Sky website as one of the best places to see the stars, to see the Milky Way. There's very little light pollution. It's an area of Central Florida where there's very little. In terms of cities or small towns, and we really enjoyed a lot of that. We saw some deer, we saw some wild turkeys, and quite a bit of mosquitoes. And it was just a relaxing weekend. You know what we did? I didn't want to take any time off from work, so after work we left on Friday, and we stayed at the Walmart in Okeechobee, Florida. Which is an RV-friendly Walmart. Although it was kind of weird, there were two RVs there, two of the and quite old, the Toyota-based Class Cs. I think it was a Dolphin or a Winnebago. I forgot the exact model, but I like them a lot because they're based on a Toyota truck chassis. But they were really old, and they looked like they were staying there kind of permanently. So you know, it's something that. Us as RVers shouldn't do too much, because it might spoil it for the rest of RVers if people start living permanently at these big box store parking lots. And you know, if a lot of people do it, they're gonna start cracking down on it. So that was a very, very cool. We stayed one night at the state park. It was just a quick weekend trip, very relaxing. We actually met up with our viewers. They actually recognized us as we were walking around. We did a couple of hikes, although it was a little too warm for comfort in late April. Now in May, We got really, really lucky, and we were able to make a reservation at John Pennekamp State Park. That's in Key Largo as well. But it's one of, like, all the state parks in the Florida Keys are very difficult to find a reservation. You have to get very lucky and be there at the right place at the right time, or just show up and maybe you find something, but it's unlikely. So we stayed tonight there at John Pennekamp, and I did something that I would recommend anybody do in the Florida Keys, and that's do snorkeling at the coral reef. They have these boats and they take you out to the coral reef, and depending on the weather, sometimes they take you to where the Christ of the Deep is, which is a crucifix underwater, and you can snorkel down there. This time it was a little choppy, so they took us to a more protected area of the coral reef. But still, I mean, I hadn't snorkeled, I think, since I was in my teens, and this was a great experience. And I got to film it, of course, on camera, and all kinds of fish, and the coral was beautiful. Now, the following weekend, we said, why not? Let's go back to the Keys. And we went to Sugarloaf Key West KOA, which was our first campground in the Keys. And let me tell you, it's a nice campground, but it's a lot nicer in the high season. May, as you probably know, it's already the low season. All the snowbirds have gone back north. And we liked it the first time because the bar had a live music, and the bar across the street was like happening, you know, with a lot of, full of people. And this time it felt kind of depressing, the Keys, because everything was empty, was dead. And we still don't realize, being almost native South Floridians, I mean, I've been living here all my life, how seasonal it is down here. And the campground at Mangrove Mamas, which is the restaurant and bar across the street, they were, I dare to say, almost kind of depressing, to be honest about it. But the highlight of this trip was we did a sunset cruise in Key West. But this, it is kind of cliche, yes, of course, and but it is incredibly romantic, by the way, guys. You gotta do that at some point. And it's a lot of fun if you get the one that we got that had open bar throughout the cruise, you know, so yeah, what can you do? But it was very nice. You see the sunset, you know, they take you out. They actually, weather permitting, you know, they put up the sail, and it's, you're actually sailing. So that was a great experience in the Keys. You know, we like to go to the Keys a lot because it's really, from Miami, it's almost our backyard. Key West is, 3.5 hours. 4 hours away on a bad day. So that was great. Now, in June, we went to Palm Beach. And I hadn't been to Palm Beach in ages. And we stayed at the Palm Beach KOA, which is at Lion Country Safari. I had been to Lion Country Safari many, many years ago when the lions were actually roaming around free until some idiot left their windows open and there was an accident, and now the lions are behind the cage. But it is what it is. The rest of the animals are roaming free, and they just walk right next to your car. It's a drive-through zoo, if you will. And there's all kinds, very, very cool. If you're in the Palm Beach area, I recommend it. And this KOA was nice. And then we visited Palm Beach, and just north of Palm Beach on Riviera Beach, there's island. This little island is actually an artificial island that they made when they did the Palm Beach Inlet. And it's called Peanut Island. And it's pretty cool. There's a park. You can actually tent camp overnight. I believe they have beaches. But the really cool thing they have is a Cold War era bunker. You know, when John F. Kennedy had his winter home here, his mansion here in Palm Beach, they made a bunker here, you know, a nuclear bunker, just in case, you know, there was the very high chance of a nuclear war as it was in the early 60s. And they had this bunker. They're very cool. A lot of history that you can go down into the bunker and see what it was like, and they have the original generators and the technology of the era. And they tell you the story, like they tried to make a tunnel from the Kennedy's home to there, but it collapsed because, you know, it's South Florida. So they have a fast boat and they had a helicopter just in case. They had to bring the president to safety in a pinch, just in case Castro decided to send a missile or something. So that was our trip, and of course we also toured downtown Palm Beach and, you know, Worth Avenue, which is like their version of like rodeo driving in Beverly Hills. Well, Palm Beach has Worth Avenue, and we also went by the Breakers Hotel, and that's one of these an old hotel, you know, from the 1930s. Very cool, very, very, very ritzy. Then in July, we went to the Sebastian Inlet State Park, and we were sort of disappointed. We went with high expectations, and really, there was not a whole lot for us to do there. There's some snorkeling, and but basically, it's if unless you have a boat or you like to fish, there's not a whole lot to do there. We also had a bad timing because there was a very bad thunderstorm in the afternoon. And the power went out, and the water went out, so we didn't have air conditioning, and my freshwater tank was empty, so we didn't even have water. So we decided to return to Miami that night. I mean, it's only like an hour and a half away, 2 hours away from Miami. So we said, you know what? Let's go back and be comfortable. So that was Sebastian Inlet. It's not a bad park by any means, but it gets really crowded during the weekend. That's the only thing. What else did we do? Well, we did go to Markham Park in Fort Lauderdale just as a shakedown cruise, because then we went on the Great American Eclipse road trip, and that was really the highlight of the year. You know, August 21st, we had the total solar eclipse that many called it, the Great American Eclipse. I think we're gonna have another one in 2024 or something like that. And then no more total solar eclipses probably in our lifetime in the United States. But that was a great trip. Of course, we spent the first couple of days in near Atlanta, visited the family. Then we spent a night just west of Chattanooga at Marion County Park in Tennessee. And we were constantly monitoring the weather because we didn't know if it was going to be cloudy in Nebraska, we would see it in Kentucky. And the weather, it's as much as they want to predict it, if it is 3 or 4 days out, they really don't know. Eventually, we decided for western Kentucky. And we tried to stay at Hopkinsville. But if the Walmarts, all of a sudden, they wouldn't allow overnight parking. And, we found the KOA, the Pricer Point KOA, in by the land between the lakes. And that's, we reserved 4 nights, and then we were able to see the eclipse. That was a life-changing experience. I recommend, I'll put a link to that video so you guys can watch it. Then we had Hurricane Irma, of course, and we were lucky that the hurricane didn't go exactly through South Florida. The lower Florida Keys weren't so lucky. So there was a lot of destruction in Marathon and south of Marathon all the way to just before Key West. Key West was pretty much spared for the most part, and so were the upper keys. The real destruction, you know, there's the upper keys, the middle keys, and the lower keys. The most of the destruction was in the middle keys and the beginning of the lower keys. And exactly 1 month after the hurricane, I think it was on October 1st, they reopened the keys to the public, and, you know, we went down there. We made it a day trip. We didn't bring the RV because most of the RV parks were still closed. There was a lot of destruction. Our beloved Sugarloaf KOA was completely destroyed, and we saw a lot of destruction. Also, one of the RV parks that we want to visit, which is a Sunshine Key RV Resort, completely destroyed. It was really heartbreaking. Also, Big Pine, yeah, a lot of destruction, but they're rebuilding, and by now I think the keys are almost back to normal. I mean, Key West has been back to normal for a while now. It's just that the tourism is not there yet, So they're suffering a little bit economically because of that, because people are not going. Anyways, in early October, I came up with across this map online that predicted the turning of the leaves, you know, the fall colors. And I have never really seen that those reds and golds on the trees, you know, that doesn't happen here in South Florida. So I said, let's go to North Georgia to witness the turning of the leaves. And we did. This time I started the trip solo, and my wife flew to Atlanta basically because she had work obligations. And, you know, I stayed at Lake Louisa State Park in Florida, and then I stayed at a Harvest Hosts in South Georgia. I stayed at, what's it called, the Lake Tobisowski. It's called the Arrowhead Park, and that's near Macon, Georgia, in central Georgia. Then I spent another night in North Georgia, and this place is absolutely fantastic. It's called Red Top Mountain State Park. It's just probably about an hour north of or northwest of Atlanta, and it's on the shores of Lake Allatoona, a beautiful state park, lots of hiking. I stayed just one night, so I didn't have the time, the chance to fully explore the park, but at some point I'm going to. And the reason I was there, because the next day I picked up my wife at the Atlanta airport, which is right there. And we spent a couple of days around there. We went to Helen, Georgia. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And we tried to stay at a Harvest Hosts winery, but it was a weekend. It was swamped with customers, and there was just no room for us. So I had to turn away and find a camping spot. By the way, let me backtrack, because one of the reasons why I was able to travel so much this year, it's because at some point in the middle of the year, I decided to leave my day job. You know, it's one of those midlife things. I realized that for most of my life, my main job had been something that I didn't like very much, that I wasn't very good at. And yeah, it made the money, but it left me very unfulfilled. Always my passions have been my what nowadays is called the side hustle. So yeah, I always had a job, and I always had a job as a musician on the side that didn't make a lot of money but fulfilled me. And now I have the job making YouTube videos, and I'm starting to find some success at that and make some money. And I decided, why not give this my passion 100% of my time? So I decided to quit my job, and the rest is history. That's why I was able to make this fall road trip. And as I left off, I was telling you about Atlanta, and then from Atlanta, I went up to LDJ, Georgia. I met up with other YouTubers and they had their bloggers Robert and Jessica. They have the Exploring the Local Life blog, very nice. And from there, I went up to the Smoky Mountains, and finally got to see the fall colors, the turning of the leaves, kind of partially. But it was very cool. It was like a rainbow, because you had some trees were red, trees were yellow, and some were still green. So it was really cool. And then I saw that, I decided, well, let's head south. And I saw this this strange monument in Georgia. It's called the Georgia Guidestones. And it's like some sort of a new set of commandments, I suppose. It's like 10 scriptures, you know, on a granite rock, and they're written in the 8 main languages of the world. And yeah, it's a very strange monument. You guys should check it out if you are ever in that area. Just Google it. And then I went to a Watson Mill Bridge State Park, and it's the oldest covered bridge in Georgia. And it's there's a dam and a waterfall. Beautiful, beautiful park. Also, as I started inching my way south, eventually I made it to Amelia Island on northeast Florida, Fernandina Beach, and I stayed at Fort Clinch State Park. Very cool, very nice, very, very cool town, Fernandina Beach, and from there, I just came back down to Miami. Now, last month, I went to one of the last bucket list destinations that I had in the Florida Keys, and that was the trip to the Dry Tortugas National Park. And there's a Fort Jefferson, of course, and it's supposed to be like really good snorkeling. The weather wasn't that great for snorkeling this time. I did a little bit of it, but it wasn't really anything that great. So I was doing it wrong, obviously. But the fort is very nice, and it's a very out of the way place. You know, it's way, way out there. It is a 2.5 hour boat trip from Key West, and it was very choppy. But it was a nice trip. We really enjoyed that trip, and that's like the last destination that I needed to do in Key West, because I'm gonna make a top 10 Key West video very soon with my top 10 things to do in Key West, and Dry Tortugas is definitely one of them. And the last trip of the year was, of course, we went to the Everglades National Park to test a new self signal booster that I got from WeBoost, and I went to it's called the Long Pine Key campground. And it is the first campground if you enter the Everglades through the homestead entrance, and it's primitive, and the cell signal it's very, very marginal. So it was a perfect place to test this WeBoost, and we were able to make calls and even watch YouTube videos at some point. So it was a success, and that was all the camping we've done this year. 2017 has been a great year for me. And of course, it was the year that I made the decision. I made the leap of faith to dedicate 100% of my energy to my passion, which is telling stories through video, and of course, and now through the podcast as well. What's in store for 2018? Well, let me tell you roughly our plans. Of course, now in January, we plan to attend the Florida RV Super Show once again. And one of the places that of the side trips that we're going to do, actually, we're going to do it before the RV show. I want to go to Crystal River State Park. And there's a couple of springs in the area. Crystal River is the main town. And because you can watch the manatees in the winter, they come into the springs. And that's supposed to be pretty cool. You can even swim with the manatees. I don't know if I'm going to do the swimming with the manatees part, but for sure, I'm really looking forward to spending some time there. It's just north of Tampa. And then we're probably going to travel a little south to Wikiwachi Springs, and that's another state park. But the main attraction there, they have mermaid shows. And it's been a mermaid show that has been going on, I think, since the 1950s. I mean, it's a very old attraction, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then, of course, the RV show. I'm gonna try to do some sightseeing in Tampa as well, since I'm there. Although last year we did a lot of that, and you can check out those videos. I have playlists and all that kind of stuff. Very cool. So I don't know how much of that I'm going to do. And then as soon as probably on Saturday, I'm going to make a beeline for, this is the plan, this might change. I don't know. It's nothing is written in stone, but the plan is to make a beeline for Arizona and catch the tail end of the Quartzsite RV show. I'm thinking if I drive 4 days nonstop, I'll make it. And then from there, explore the Phoenix area. Explore if it is not snowing or not too cold, go through Sedona. I've seen pictures of Sedona, and it's supposed to be such a beautiful place, rivaling the Grand Canyon even. And then north to Flagstaff. Maybe I'll even go to the Grand Canyon. Why not? It's like 2 hour detour. And then I plan to go east on Route 66, all the way to Albuquerque, and then down to Amarillo, Texas, and that part of the trip I haven't planned ahead that far ahead, because I don't know, I might like Sedona so much that I can spend a day extra or so. I have a rough plan of particularly after Albuquerque. I know more or less what I want to do. Of course, I want to hit probably Dallas and Austin, San Antonio, and then come back down through I-10 back to Florida. But I don't know yet. Many things are possible in this January and February of 2018. And then, surprise, surprise, I don't think I have told you guys about this before. I might go to Europe. I am going to Europe in the spring, in June. A friend of ours from Finland, he has a YouTube channel as well. That's how we met. Well, he owns an RV rental place in Finland, Savonia Caravan, I think it's called. And he told me that if it was before June 17, he could give me a caravan so I could spend 2 weeks touring Finland. I might even go to Norway. We're going to see the midnight sun because we're going to be above the Arctic Circle. And it's going to be probably our equivalent of our, like a B+. Or a class C here in the United States. It's probably like a 25 footer and should be fun. I mean, I've never really RV'd in Europe. I mean, the last road trip that I did in a rental car was in 2006, so it's been a while. So I really look forward to this. And then we'll see. I still haven't discounted the possibility of doing a New England road trip in the fall, because this is the thing. Like a year ago, I came up with this crazy goal of doing the lower 48 before I'm 48, and I'm about to turn 47, so I'm running out of time. And I still haven't done I've done a lot, but I haven't done the Pacific Northwest. Most of the Midwest is still blank in my sticker map, and New England, of course. And so I'm more than halfway behind schedule at this point. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing other places, because every time I visit a new state, with rare exceptions, I like it better than the before. I was in love with Georgia until I visited Kentucky, and then I was in love with Kentucky until I visited Tennessee, and then I was in love with Tennessee until I visited North Carolina, and now I'm in love with all these states. And of course the West, it's another thing. I mean, no landscape in the East compares with the landscapes of the West. Because in the East, it's normal. It looks like Earth. There are trees. You may have mountains. You may have rivers, lakes. Beautiful. But in the West, if you go to places like the Valley of Fire, where I was 2 weeks ago, it looks like, if you feel like you're in Mars or in some other planet, because it's so different. And the air and the color of the Earth. Yeah. Well, anyways, I think I've rambled enough for this end of the year episode. Of course, for everything about RVs, I want you to go to the John Huggins website, who was the founder of this podcast, and it's called livingthervdream.com. And it has a database there with all kinds of information that you need to know about RVs. Actually, I learned most of what I know from John Huggins. He also has a book on Amazon called So You Want to Be an RVer. I do recommend that you get it. And if you want to do some more camping, he has also one called So You Want to Be a Work Camper. And he also, if you are going to the Tampa RV Show, which I'm really looking forward to meeting a lot of you at the Tampa RV Show, he has a book. It's a small book. It's like a pamphlet. It's only like $1 in Amazon, but it's called How to Survive an RV Show. And I should get the title right? Because it's a short book, but it tells you everything you need to know. And I'm typing here on Amazon as I talk to you, because I don't want to cut anymore. And maybe I should type his name right. So You Want to Be an RVer, and the other book that he has is So You Want to Be a Work Camper, and the other book I cannot find for some reason. Okay, How to Survive an RV Show and Make It a Great Experience. And it's 99 cents to buy, and it's free if you have Kindle Unlimited, so if you are going to now, by the way, now in January, February is RV show season, and in the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to give you a list of all the RV shows that are going to be happening. It's a great book to get, of course. Anyways, I want to wish each and every one of you a very happy 2018. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas or Hanukkah and or holidays, whatever type of holiday you celebrate. And if you are enjoying the podcast so far, do me a favor, go to iTunes or and if you liked it, give it a 5-star review or just review it or give it a 3-4 star, whatever you think is worth. But that way more people are going to be able to find the podcast and we're going to get a larger audience and we're all going to be happier. Of course, check out my YouTube channel. Also, all the music for my YouTube videos is available online. Just search for Robert Morales or Free in My RV. And I have a CD with a bunch of tracks. I'm almost out of physical CDs. I'm going to take a few to Tampa. But you can get those at travelingrobert.com/stickers or just click on merchandise on the website anywhere. And then yeah, you get there. My YouTube channel, of course, youtube.com/travelingrobert. And that's all I'm going to plug today. I'm out of here. See you next year. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle.